18 months is a long time for a recession.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We talk about recession this and recession that. Today we found out when the U.S. recession actually ended, in June of 2009. The National Bureau of Economic Research says that makes the economic downturn, which began in December of 2007, the longest recession the nation's endured since World War II. That recession may have caused some long-term economic problems. A report out today by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, cut its growth forecast for the U.S. economy and laid out some suggestions to get American deficits down and the economy back on track. Angel Gurria is Secretary General of the OECD, and he's with us now from New York. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How do you do?
Doing well. According to the OECD, what's the state of the U.S. economy?
Well, it's recovering. With a bit of a slowdown in the third and fourth quarter as we see it, but it is recovering. We will not have double dips, but we have to take a medium and long-term look at some of the measures we have to take in order to keep it moving and to keep it growing.
I want to talk a little bit about some of those measures. There are some unpopular recommendations in this report, including the value-added tax and eliminating over time the mortgage interest deduction. Those two items are going to be very difficult to do. How do you recommend the government do those things?
Well, the value-added tax in particular is something we have been looking at for really a long, long time. And what we're looking at are ways in which the United States can, if not balance its books, go back to a situation where the deficit is manageable and where the debt to the as a relation of your GDP stops growing and ideally starts going down.
Give us a brief primer. I mean, just a few lines about what exactly is a value-added tax.
It is a more efficient. It is a more equitable, and at the same time, it can be graduated better. It is has proven to be also a better distribution of the burden. We believe that consumption and taxing, perhaps carbon emissions, are better ways of going about raising taxes than taxing income.
But pretty unpopular ideas all the way around, I can imagine.
It's a question of making the consequences transparent of going one way or the other. And also, in the end, this is about helping the government to have the necessary resources in order to help the neediest.
Mr. Secretary, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Angel Gurria, Secretary General of the OECD. Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now, average of about 1.5% or so. The Dow up about 1%, 104 points at 10,712. The NASDAQ and S&P doing a little better right now. European shares are higher as well. Home builder Lennar said today it's making money again, thanks in part to a decrease in construction costs. Lennar stock up about 7% in early trading. I mentioned markets in Europe up at the moment, 1% or less, and mining stocks leading the way there. Mining as in digging and finding gold. London traders paid $1,280 for an ounce of bullion at the end of the market day. Could the price surge be a warning sign for the U.S. economy? Here's Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard.
The latest spurt in the price of gold is not a good sign. It clearly reflects fears of a double-dip recession, particularly in the U.S. The worry is that in order to counteract another slowdown, the Federal Reserve, when it meets tomorrow, will announce it's going to pump more dollars into the economy. Neil McKinnon is a currency strategist with VTB Capital Group.
The markets believe that the Federal Reserve will print more money, which is sort of undermining the US dollar. And as far as investors are concerned, they're losing confidence in paper currencies generally.
The euro, the yen and the British pound have also taken a beating on the currency markets. Some central banks also seem to be losing faith in paper. Two Asian central banks have reportedly just bought an extra 15 million tons of gold for their reserves. Gold mining companies, meanwhile, are struggling to produce more of the metal. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at Vanguard.com/public radio. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
And now a word about things that are dead. No fond farewell, more like good riddance. The explosion 5 months ago at BP's Deepwater oil well killed 11 workers and pumped hundreds of millions of gallons of crude oil into the Gulf of Mexico. For the British oil giant, a dead well may mean everything's plugged, but that doesn't mean everything's over. From New York, here's Marketplace's Elisa Roth.
BP set aside $32 billion to pay for the aftermath of the spill. It's spent more than $9 billion so far, including paying hundreds of millions to fishermen and other people who've lost business because of property damage and other problems caused by the leaking oil. The company could end up paying billions more just in fines under the Clean Water Act. Exactly how much more depends on whether BP has to pay for all the oil that was spilled, or if the oil it cleaned up already doesn't count. Christine Tiscareno is an equity research analyst at Standard & Poor's. She says BP's not out of the woods yet, but she thinks it'll probably make it.
My stance since, you know, the whole thing began is that BP is a very good company. They're financially robust. They have a very strong balance sheet, and they would be able to cope with this. My opinion has not changed. I think they still will.
Another big question for BP is whether it'll be allowed to drill in the Gulf of Mexico again. No deep water drilling is allowed in the Gulf, at least through the end of November, and Congress could decide to ban BP from drilling there permanently. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, the Czech firm Etnedera said it's developed a mobile phone application called Virtual Meter for cabs in Prague. It measures distance and calculates the proper cab fare with that distance. Said the company when it introduced the app, quote, everyone will be able to verify right in the taxi whether the driver is trying to rob him. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.